This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Here we go. Good morning. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock, Friday John Gambling Show, as Bill Rock said, and Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. I said to Stu, what should we talk about? He said, well, the weather, because we always do. And here we've got great weather. Come on. If you're not happy with the weather today, yesterday, St. Patrick's Day, next couple of days, I don't know what to do.
No,
only if you're a skier and want to ski in the city should you not be happy.
There isn't skiing in the city any longer. There was at one time, I remember.
There is cross country. You see a lot of people in the parks.
But downhill, they had a hill at one point. I forget where.
No, but even, you know, a lot of these parks, the bigger parks, Prospect, Van Cortlandt, Central Park, have some hills. You could, you know, take kids on it. You see people doing that, trying to teach the kids to ski.
Last day of winter, springtime, renewal. It's a new season.
happens every year.
If it doesn't happen,
that would be news.
Okay. Healthcare, big headline going on right now in Washington. Its effect on New York City, if it goes through.
They're never going to pass a bill that does everything everybody wants. They're never going to pass a bill that is cost-free. There's always, if you're going to expand coverage, somebody's got to pay for it. And you can always do it better. So that's one way is to look at it. Another way is it could be worse. I will say that Schumer and Gillibrand, Chuck really is, and Kirsten Gillibrand have worked very hard along with the delegation to minimize the impact on New York City. There was a point where this disproportionate share program where we get monies to treat people that we already took care of. There's a lot of monies. Federal monies come if you want to start doing something. If you've done it in advance, they don't want to pay for it. So, for example, if we need a piece of hazmat equipment, we buy the piece of equipment so that I can look you in the eye and say the FDNY and the NYPD is doing everything they can to protect you. And then we go looking for money. The federal government says, oh, no, you've already bought it. We shouldn't. Other places, they don't buy it, and they wait for money before they buy it. I don't know how to look everybody in the eye and say, we're leaving you vulnerable because we can't figure out who's going
to
pay
for it. How does this apply to healthcare?
Some of the same. We in this city take care of more people who need help than lots of other places. We have a disproportionate share, which is where the name comes from, of immigrants, which are here working hard, but they start out here and they don't have insurance. We have lots of small businesses don't have insurance. So the disproportionate share was something we were going to get very badly hurt, and Chuck and Kirsten worked very hard in the congressional
delegation. I understand that there's an additional $1 billion that's coming to New York that's developed in the last 3 weeks or so.
Number one, you're talking about long-term effects that nobody can predict. Anybody that thinks they can predict out to 2019 is just, you cannot predict 6 months in advance with any great specificity, although better than 19. Just take a look at how we predict tax revenues, and we use experts' opinions. 1 year in advance, 6 months in advance, you can't tell 3 months in advance. You saw the state the other day, or 2 months ago, came up with all of a sudden a big deficit because they hadn't predicted accurately. Could you have done better? We predicted very conservatively, so we have less of a deficit than we thought. They predicted very aggressively. They have a much greater deficit than they thought. But predicting the future is hard. So you can't really tell. What is clear here is that there's an enormous greater tax burden on people who have certain kinds of income. For example, unearned income, which would be dividends and rent and capital gains. Those people that have those kinds of income tend to be older. So they are going to pay more taxes. And we think that in New York City, the total amount of unearned income, as it's called, is something like $93 billion a year. It could be more because we can't count everything, but the ones
I think the rate is 3.8 on that unearned.
Well, 3.8, if my math is right, times 93 is about $3.6 billion a year in extra taxes. That's new taxes on New York City. If you want to know what the impact is, double it. that's a standard rule we'd always use. Whatever the tax burden is, if it was spent rather than sent to the government, it would have there's a multiplier effect. Then they talk, there is a Medicare tax, which you know about because you pay it all the time. The employer pays half, 1.45%. The employee pays half, 1.45%. That's supposed to go from, if I remember, something like 2.9 to 3.8. So you got an extra 0.9%. The number there, it works out to something like $1 billion and a couple billion in economic impact. So you're talking about $4 or $5 billion in extra taxes on the city and double the economic impact. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other side is you get something for it. Now, you may decide you don't want what you get for it. That's what the public and the elected representatives have to decide. But the numbers are the numbers, and these are numbers today. What that would grow to down the road, I don't know. People say, well, we'll spend more, but because of savings, it'll cost us less down the road. In theory, that could be. It just, you know, you got to take all projections, even for 6 months, certainly for the next 9 years, with a big grain of salt. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. You can, and if you're a pessimist or you don't like the bill, you say, oh, it's not going to come. If you're an optimist and you like the bill, you say, yes, those will be the savings.
All right, well, that certainly doesn't help your situation when it comes to, or the city's situation when it comes to budgeting.
No, I mean, we have that. You know, keep in mind, look, Obama comes into office, very tough economic times, very partisan Congress, and he depends on Congress a lot. And I will say, I keep saying this, I give him a lot of credit for taking on health care. Presidents for a long time have tried and not had great success. He's at least willing to do it. If you want somebody to take on the big problems, then, you know, you can criticize them if you don't like the ways they do it. But at least he is. That's what leadership's all about. And this is what he thinks is right. And he's obviously doing it. And it does give health care to a lot of people in New York City who did not have it before. So, you know, there's we'll deal with it. I want to see what they pass. And then we have in our city, we have $1 billion deficit for a Health and Hospitals Corporation. We've got to plug that. We have, a budget that we've spent an enormous amount of money on Medicaid. That keeps us from doing other things. The economic impact, whenever they raise taxes, is greater on New York City because this is where people that come to make money.
They anticipate with this health care bill 31 million additional Americans falling under health care coverage of whatever the number is. But obviously, because New York is as big as New York is, both city and state, a certain percentage of those 31 million are going to be here.
Yeah, but whether or not a greater percentage, because remember, we have here we take care of people in a ways they don't elsewhere. You show up at one of our HHC hospitals and you get the best care. You might not get a fancy private room, but you get the best medical care science knows how to provide.
My question is right to that point. Do you think that the system here in New York, the healthcare system, will be impacted by additional numbers? Or do you think those are the same numbers but just being treated in a different way?
No. We either have to come up with money from other sources, meaning your pocket, and to pay for more services, or we don't. But, for example, we use a lot of federal monies for graduate medical education. One of the cuts, they always say, well, you know, you shouldn't use Medicaid money for that. But that's what everybody does. If you don't educate doctors, we're not going to have enough doctors. And I've said repeatedly, unless you solve this idiot, you change this crazy immigration policy, we're not going to have enough doctors in this country. You're not going to be able to provide care for those 30-odd million people unless we get more doctors. And I don't see Congress being willing, although the president says he's going to work on it. And more credit to him. I'll be there for him, certainly. He's dead right on this. But unless Congress changes the law and you let doctors who come here get their education here, give them a green card, let them stay, there's not enough doctors.
Schumer and Lindsey Graham have issued a report.
That's a good bipartisan thing.
Which, for you and me, has a number of things in it that I certainly agree with, and I think you do as well, including that biometric card that you and I have talked about for years now.
Cutting out corruption. Some people don't like to cut out corruption. And they say there isn't any, or closer, it's not a big deal. The public is not going to pay for programs unless they believe that those programs are effective and are not being scammed. And it's not fair also. You pay more taxes when other people cheat. So, you know, you had to say that everybody should be paying their taxes or everybody should be using services only when they deserve them. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And there is no easy answers here. I come back to what we started out. We have to, in this country, address two things. One, that we have a healthcare system, the whole totality, that we cannot afford. This is going to be 25% of our GNP one of these days. We can't do that. And there's nothing that I see that says that even if some of these plans in this bill ostensibly down the road reduce cost, it's such a small amount given the size of the problem. And the problem keeps growing at an exponential rate. And you see the fighting when you want to close a hospital or decide that a certain kind of test doesn't make any sense statistically. Well, how can you do that just in case I want it? But it's the total cost of medical care, and it is the fact that we spend double what they do in Western Europe, and we have a lower life expectancy. And until you stop and say, what are we getting for our money? And nobody's willing to do that, because it may be that some of the people working in the industry, doctors or everybody at the whole chain, doing the wrong things. Maybe they aren't any good. Maybe they're great. Who knows? But nobody's willing to look at those two problems. To fix the cost problems, you've got to have more doctors. That's the immigration bill. And you've got to reduce tort settlements. I think the average doctor pays something like $42,000 a year.
And countless extra tests just to cover their
accidents. If you were a doctor and you have your family's livelihood on the line and you know what tort law or how it's applied, would you, and somebody else is paying for the tests, what would you do?
Absolutely. You go,
10
go,
years
go.
Of graduate
go,
medical go, go. Education, you're going to throw it all away and your whole family, your livelihood?
Of course.
I don't think so.
But again, I'm not sure, and we don't have the time, nor should we probably spend the focus on this, but I don't know that this health care bill addresses that to a greater degree.
I think the bill, the president started out to address those two issues. Congress, because the president proposes legislation. It's Congress that writes it. And Congress has, in all fairness, gone away from focusing on the total cost and what we get for our money, and focused instead on coverage of people who are uncovered, which is an admirable goal, but not the first. It's not the same thing.
All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. Let's take a break right here. And don't forget, everybody, it is your opportunity on a Friday to ask the mayor some questions of yours. 800-321-0710. 25 minutes after 8 o'clock. Again, we got a lot of flashing lights on the line here, but you might want to be persistent. 800-321-0710. If you can get by Figs, you can get to Mayor Michael Bloomberg. I guess state budget. You worried that we don't see anything happening here? Or are you hearing things back channel?
They say that they are talking. You get very different things they're talking about, the rumors, and it's all rumors. Nobody knows. The assembly's one thing, and the Senate's on another, and one side of the aisle's doing this, and the other side of the aisle's doing that, and then there's the governor, and then there's Dick Ravitz who's trying, and they'll have an on-time bill, except that, you know, Shelley's going to take Passover off, which starts next Monday, I think, a week from Monday. So that, you know, there's 10 days left to go before that. If you were to write a bill and pass it between now and the end of this year, I think it's fair to say it would not be a bill that the public had a chance to weigh in on, or that every representative and senator had a chance to even read, much less be part of. But that's not the way Albany works. And I come back to, in the city, every piece of legislation, including the budget, everybody's going to have a chance to testify. Nothing's behind closed doors. All the legislature is briefed all the time, and you know, it's a very different system. My main concern is not that they do something on time, but rather they do what's right, and right has to be in the context of what's possible. I think Ravitz actually said it well. He said, you know, you got a $9 billion deficit, you can't cut $9 billion in expenses. Of course, Chris Christie says you can with $11 billion, whether or not he can really get that. And I saw one of the cuts, for example, he's doing is less contribution to the pension fund, and I'm not so sure you know, that just long, that just defers. That's not really cutting, but it gets you through a problem short term. The New York State's legislative problem or government's problem is they're going
to
run out of money in May.
Literally. I talked to the governor yesterday.
States can't go bankrupt legally, but they can run out of money. And then if they want to have services, they can pay you by an IOU called Script.
Or not send you your refund.
Or not send you your refund. But those are cash. That is one of the reasons, incidentally, why I think it would be a very difficult thing to get the legislature to change their accounting system, as Dick Ravitz suggested. Dick's 100% right. They should go to the same kind of accounting system New York City has called accrual accounting. So if you have an expense, whether you sent the check or not, you have the expense. If you owe somebody some money, whether or not you've sent the check out or not, you can't spend that money, okay? Cash accounting lets you do exactly what they're doing. Don't send you the check for a while. And New York City gets constantly hurt because they don't send the check. They slip it from one year to another, and they play games because their fiscal year is different than our fiscal year by a few months. And I don't see how you're going to convince them, although they should. Ravitz 100% right, they should. Go to gap accounting and go to the same fiscal year and get rid of some of these shenanigans. But that's the way they've always gotten through problems. And are they going to give up on it? Let's hope. But
Shenanigans are us.
But it's going to hurt, well, us. In the end, they have a deficit. They're spending money they don't have. And they swear they're not going to raise taxes. At least the Senate says they're not going to raise taxes. And if you don't raise taxes, you either borrow or cut expenses or do some combination thereof. And borrowing is the way we got in trouble in the 70s. It's terrible fiscal policy. Selling a similar thing is to sell capital assets and take, you know, you sell the bridge and you spend the money now or bonding out future streams. I love this. Going to bond out the tobacco revenue. Nobody knows what the tobacco revenue is going to be. And you're hurting yourself down the road. You're not going to have any revenue down the road to spend it all now. That is just insane. We keep saying, well, we have to do it. Where do people learn simple economics? You can't spend something you don't have. The average taxpayer, the average household in our city does understand that. They don't do
completely.
That. Completely. And Albany, yeah, right, I know, but I got to get reelected kind of thing. And it's just, so if you can't raise taxes and borrowing's a bad idea, although Ravitz's idea is to borrow some, and that may, in fact, be the only ways to get through it from a practical point of view, you got to cut expenses. And they don't want to cut expenses. And I saw there's an article in the paper today, the state legislature passed a bill that said if the voters in a county say no more taxes, the school board can raise them automatically anyways. And it was supported by both sides of the aisle.
What about the say of the people that were making the decisions and paying the freight?
You got any other questions while we're here? Isn't it time for a commercial break?
It is, actually. It's funny that you recognize that. 8:31 is our time. 800-321-0710. What do we have? We got one line open. Give it a shout. 800-321-0710. Questions for the mayor. And if you want to know what's going on, I got Joe Bartlett. /22 now before 9 o'clock. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, John Gambling, and you coming up. Your questions. Times are tough. Everybody's got an issue probably with mortgages and the like and bills for the city. I understand the water companies are...
We haven't, as you know, Kaz Holloway is the new commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection, started a couple months ago. And one of the programs he put in was for 2- and 3-family homes where if you get in trouble with your mortgage, if you keep your bill current from then on, you don't have to pay the past until later on. You don't walk away from your obligation because we said before, everybody should be paying their fair share. But when you're really up against it, it makes it a little bit easier to keep your home. And now he's going to extend that to single family homes because it has been successful. Doesn't get you off the hook, just solves your cash problem. We talked about that with the state.
It does not apply to landlords, probably.
I think whoever owns the 1, 2, or 3-family mm-hmm. house, because you don't know who lives in the house necessarily. It's the whoever pays the bill.
Gotcha. All right.
That sort of thing. And, you know, there's another one. We have another new commissioner, Fatima Sharma, who is running our Office of Immigrant Affairs. And one of the things she's been focusing on is continuing to try to raise awareness and get people to volunteer and give some money for Haiti. You know, Haiti's disappeared from the news. We looked at
Haiti,
the terrible tragedies,
and
then, you know, it's a month later and nobody focuses on it. And so she's working. If anybody wants to volunteer, we need Creole speakers. And there's certainly some of the bigger organizations are still trying to provide funds, food and shelter and that sort of thing. Call 311.
Has she indicated that the city has seen an influx of Haitians as a result of the earthquake?
You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a handful more, but the city is so big. And most people don't want to leave the country that they grew up in and have their friends there. And also, New York is a very competitive place. I keep saying this. You know, immigrants that want to come here, you got to want to work. You got to really want to compete. This is just not the city you'd go to if you just want to sit back and try to get some benefits and not work. Doesn't work here. I mean, there's some people that scam the system, but fundamentally, the immigrants from around the world that come here, they have jobs, they work hard, they tend to be young, don't have their kids with them in a lot of cases, so they don't use the schools as much. Because of their age, they don't use the hospitals that much. They take jobs that other people wouldn't, and they generally pay taxes because their employers withhold, but there's no place to send the refund. So, you know, and they can't get earned income tax credit because they don't file the returns. So the 500,000 undocumented here, net's a positive for our city. I think we just got to change our immigration policies. You know, these 12 million undocumented in the country, we're not going to deport them. Let's make them permanent and get control of our borders and give out more visas rather than let people just come without them.
Absolutely. Just lock it down, then put the resource towards keeping the system the way we think it needs to be to serve our needs as well as theirs. Okay, we've covered health care. We've covered the budget here this morning. Those aren't very significant when put up against one bake sale per year in schools, a new rule in the education department.
They're trying to have kids eat fewer calories. I don't know why. They've just gotten this. Everybody's focusing. The real problem is making sure that we have the best teachers with the best facilities we can have. And educating our kids. And these sideshows, I know they make good theater, and I know it's fun for you to talk about, but in the end, if you think about the graduation rates, 27% improvement for New York City public schools over 5 years, while the rest of the state went up 3%.
Have you had an explanation from the police commissioner about Walter and Rose Martin over there in Marine Park, whose house has been knocked, the door knocked
on? I gather there was a computer glitch. They had used a random access as a test when they were installing or building the system or modifying it many years ago. You'd think somebody would have caught it before. I mean, I apologize to the people. I'm sorry they were bothered. It's get fixed. And, you know, sometimes things happen and it's a shame. The police department certainly didn't do it deliberately. And we're sorry that they got they got bothered. I feel it. You feel it. Kelly feels it. We all feel it. It's a shame it happened.
You know, one of the stories this week that has made headlines earlier in the week was the ripoffs that were going on with the taxi cabs, taxi cabs. A New Yorker came forward, saw something was wrong. TLC investigated, did something about it, and they seem to have at least attempted to fix it with
a new piece of software, I gather, going in. Whether it really gets in one day or something, I don't know how they do that, but over the next few weeks, I assume, where you warn the rider that they could be scammed. Look, the bottom line is, if somebody wants to steal, very hard to stop every place they can steal. This is, couldn't be more wrong. I prejudice the Department of Investigations investigation, but I think they certainly should investigate. And if somebody did something wrong, they should be prosecuted. How are you going to go? And, you're talking about $8 for a ride instead of $5 for a ride. And how are you going to go and ever get the monies and get them back to the people?
Oh, it's not going to.
Right, sure. I mean, it costs you more to do it than you save. Would it be nice if you could do it cost-free? Yes, no argument about that. The main thing is to stop it from happening and to go after a handful of the most egregious cases and prosecute them so that everybody else understands that we're not going to walk away. But if you've had a few thousand cab drivers do this an average of two times for $5 extra, it's just...
All right, MTA problems, one of the solutions or one of the things that they're thinking about doing is removing ticketing agents from some of the platforms. There have been suggestions that this is going to increase crime. You buy into that?
There's no crime on the subways from practical sense. It's down so low compared to what it used to be. I think there's something like, I vaguely remember, 5 incidents a day. Given we have something like 5 million people that take the subway a day, that is essentially zero, okay? And the NYPD does a great job in providing security on the subways, and the transit workers themselves have a big part of that as well. You can say, well, let's not cut that. Just excuse me, what do you want to cut? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, the one thing you got to come back to is, in the end, it is management of an organization that matters. That means the principals in a school providing direction and aid to the teachers that deliver the service. That means the management of agencies. People that say, oh, it's tough times, let's cut the management. Wrong. That's the time you want to have better, more management, because you've got to get people to do more with less, and that requires direction and making sure that you focus your resources on the things that work and divert them from things that don't. And the MTA is run by the history, David Paterson, if he did one thing that he should be remembered for, it is appointing this guy, Jay Walter. He brought him in. He worked for the MTA before, went to London, ran their underground system and mass transit system, I think the whole thing, I don't know, buses as well, I don't remember. He's got to make decisions. And somebody said to me yesterday, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't, for example, the... free transportation to school for New York City school kids. New York City hasn't cut its aid. The state cut its aid, and the state cut the money to the MTA to do that. Now, no other place in the state do the students have to pay. There is the public pays for student transportation, I think, in virtually every other county.
I think you're right.
Why
bus
us?
Service.
Well, and it isn't the city. And we can't pick it up the tab. This is something that the state, if they're going to do it for the rest of the state, they should do it for us. And Walter, what do you expect him to do? There is nothing that he can do that people are going to say, oh, that's great, cut that service. And yet he can't spend money he doesn't have.
But I agree with you, the student free tickets. I don't think that's going away. Do you? I think they're going to come back. And
one can only hope.
One can only hope. Let's see here.
You know, what I worry about is they'll say they do it, but only on Tuesdays. You know, you didn't read the fine print. I mean, who knows? Hopefully not.
I read somewhere that I think it was a senator who's in charge of the post office said cutting the post office delivery one day back to 5 would create a spiral effect that would put the
Sue Collins. I heard it on Bloomberg Radio this morning. As a matter of fact,
Bloomberg what?
You remember Bloomberg Radio, a competitor of yours.
And I said to myself, "Are you kidding me? That seems so convoluted that if you reduce your costs so that you can operate more efficiently, it's going to put you out of business."
Well, it's another example of everybody agrees we're wasting money, but nobody wants to take any cuts. And in this day and age, it doesn't sound to me like it would be all that onerous, given the other things that we might have to suffer to go from 5 days to 4 days. I think there was a time did we ever have 7 day a week? We might.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But probably did. And a lot of fewer people are using the mails. They use FedEx and electronics and UPS. And, it's just you can't keep providing services that people aren't using. A woman stopped me last night. I was in Brooklyn and Borough Park, I think it was. And she said, you've got to save the call boxes, the fire call boxes. Well, you had and I had we're with Sal Cassano here last week. And he told you, 95% or something like that of all false alarms come from those. Nobody makes a false alarm call from their cell phone because you can track it back. And somebody's going to get killed when a fire engine or ladder is rushing to what turns out to be a false alarm. Bad enough it happens if they're on a mission to save lives. What a great waste and tragedy if the tragedy happens and there is no fire. And either that or fewer firehouses. Which do you want? We just don't have the money, so.
And the commissioner said it costs like $6 million a year to maintain them.
Right. And he's got to find ways to do more with less. That's his job. That's what all these commissioners' jobs are, because that's what the public wants. They want to have more services, and they want to pay less. And we're going to do our darndest to get it done. And we've been doing it again and again and again. This year, we cut another $1.5 billion out of our budget. So it's not the $9 billion the state has or $11 billion Christie has, but this is the seventh cut that we've gone through. It's an awful lot of billions of dollars we've saved.
Full bank of phones, Mr. Mayor. Hang on. We will get to those in just a moment. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. It's your turn next.
On News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right. It's your turn now. 5 minutes before 9 o'clock. Right to the telephones. Line number four is going to be number one, not line number four. AJ, you've got the mayor. Go.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I have a question, and first of all, I want to say that the New York City public schools are the success of our children doing well is coming from the school teachers, those dedicated school teachers. But I have a question. I just don't understand breaking up the schools and having 8 principals or 10 principals in one school, in one building. Why do we do that? We're paying 8 principals or 10, I don't know how many.
Okay. The when they take these big schools which haven't been functioning and break them into small schools, and they don't have 8 or 10, probably more than 3 or 4 is more likely, it is proven to be phenomenally successful, because then you have a principal that has a manageable size, a number of teachers to supervise. I mean, that's the principal's job. And if they have too many teachers, they just can't supervise them. And everybody needs, you know, that's what management does. And we need more management, as I said before, and we need better management. And the school principals are just as important part of the puzzle to improve education as are the teachers. And in all fairness, the custodians and the parent coordinators and the school safety offices and the parents and the kids, you know, it takes everybody. It takes a village, if you'll pardon the pun.
Please.
I knew you'd like that.
Spare me.
And also, what we do with the small schools is each one typically has a theme. One of the problems, elementary schools, you tell the kids go to school, the kid goes to school. High schools doesn't work that way. At least it didn't with my kids. I'm sure it didn't with your kids or anybody else's kids. You have to make it interesting for them. And so whether they go into a career that the school was built around or not, as long as they go to school and get an education, the world's their oyster. They'll have lots of choices down the road, maybe to follow on in that, you know, the schools that focus on criminal justice, the schools that focus on maritime studies. One's going to open on Governor's Island this fall. The schools that focus on,
one for the fire department?
There might very well, I don't know, there might be. There's a signing school because Fatima Sharma's sister is the principal of it. There are schools that focus on the economy and, you know, business.
Criminology.
Criminology, yeah. And you got to make this. And the principals are a small part of the puzzle, but they are as valuable, if not more so, than everybody else. And the CSA, Ernie Logan's group, really does a great job.
All right. Thank you very much, AJ. Let's go to line number three. That's Frank. Hello, Frank. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
Good morning, John. One quick question. With all the problems that the MTA is having and the possibility of laying off token booth clerks and all of that and subway cutting service, why are we doing tens of millions of dollars worth of tile work in all of these subway
stations?
Because,
plain and simple, if you don't make it a pleasurable experience, nobody's going to take it. I mean, you just have to have clean stations that you feel safe in and comfortable in. And it's our city. It's our reputation. And people from around the world come here. There's some beautiful subway systems, newer ones around the world. But, you know, like the Lex was built between 1900 and 1904. And, you know, that's just it. You need maintenance. And so the maintenance also, Frank, is not just to replace tiles. It's to put in security systems, cameras, and that sort of thing. It's to stop leaks. When's the last time? When it rains, you walk through these stations and the water's pouring down, you know, and you've got these tapes and buckets and that sort of thing. You just can't have that. So, you know, the trouble is we're not putting enough money into making the system better. If you fixed up the stations more, you'd have more riders. That would generate more revenue, and you'd spiral up rather than spiraling down.
How nice the new stations are.
Oh, yeah, they're spectacular.
Anyways,
Frank,
finished.
Take the subway. I do every day.
All right, Frank, let's go to Pete. Pete, you've got John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Go.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Mayor. You're doing a great job.
You know,
you made a statement before that there were basically two ways to close the gap. One was to raise taxes, and the other was to, I forgot what your other one was.
Reduce expenses, or there's a third way, and that's borrowing.
Okay, but what about, you know, using some of the private industry techniques of creating, you know, profitable things like the World's Fair, like running the golf courses. You know, we have some of the greatest golf courses.
Pete, you're right. We're trying to do it. In fact, the MTA, now they sell ads on the sides of subways and buses and that sort of thing. That's using commerce. We look, some things we do farm out. We keep trying. I get criticized for I lost the stadium. Well, the city lost the stadium, and the people, the stadium was really just a bigger Javits Center. We don't have a world-class facility for conventions, and poor people in this city who would have jobs otherwise are not getting them, and shame on those that stopped it. Now we're paying for it, and it's just hard to measure, and they're not complaining because they're not organized. But, Pete, you're right. We should increase. We've got to increase the tax base, get more people to come here, live here, work here, and generate revenue.
All right, Mr. Mayor, that's going to do it for this week. Once again, time does fly each and every Friday. We'll see you back here next week. Everybody?